Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
From our studios at KUOM, on the West Bank of the University of Minnesota campus, this is Culture Q, the art show that rocks. This week on Culture Q, Free Press and Curl.
People always think that there's a magic pill out there, and they don't want to appreciate hard work. They just want to say, oh, that person's taking something.
You can draw Catwoman and have her be sexy and powerful and do that in a way that is not at all offensive.
I would never go scuba diving in a cave, because then if somehow your air supply got cut off, you'd have no way to escape.
Good evening and thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Mark Sheely. In just another week, the 2012 Summer Olympics will dominate news coverage, following some of the finest athletes competing in the fields of weightlifting, track and field, fencing, and, who could forget, equestrian dressage. The point is that for 2 weeks, we're all going to feel like we should be getting off the couch and actually moving a little bit more. And here on Culture Q tonight, I promise you we've got a show that will motivate both your body and mind. We've got a story showing what it takes to be a female figure competitor and a college student all at the same time, as well as a review of local hip-hop crew Audio Perm's latest album. And first tonight, a look at the men who write for women characters from one of our producers returning from this year's Comic-Con. All this and more this evening on Culture Q, so stick around, because it begins right now. Comic books and other popular art are full of rich, vibrant characters, but sometimes these qualities are divided along gender lines. Reporter Mitch Skinner was at San Diego Comic-Con International to catch up with some of the men who write for popular female characters.
A little less than a year ago, DC Comics relaunched its entire publication line, overhauling all of its established stories and even changing some of its heroes. DC received praise from groups like the Human Rights Campaign for its decision to make Alan Scott, the original Green Lantern, a gay man. The comic company's depiction of women, however, has received a little more criticism.
Well, I think the mistake that they keep making is that they're confusing a sexy woman with a sexist woman.
This is Jeff Jacks, the creator of the webcomic Questionable Content.
You can draw Catwoman and have her be sexy and powerful and do that in a way that is not at all offensive. The character itself is like this brilliant, you know, very feminine but very powerful, capable, independent woman. And yet, you know, she's portrayed in these ridiculous, like, pornographic cheesecake poses that are physically impossible. And it's just like, you don't have to do that. Like, you know, that is not the core appeal of the character.
Questionable Content is notable for its large cast of female characters, despite Jax being the only writer for it. He told me the trick to writing for women is to write them as people first.
And that's true for any kind of person, you know. If you write them as a character before you think about their gender or their sexual orientation or, you know, their body type or any of that, then you're going to have a much more interesting and much more well-rounded and much less, hopefully, offensive character than if you're just working with some weird, you know, stereotype that you might have in your head.
This notion seems to be fairly tried and true among story creators with large female fan bases. I asked Jackson Publick and Doc Hammer, the creators of the Adult Swim series The Venture Brothers, if they consciously wrote their characters to appeal to more women.
No, the conscious effort to have the characters be true to themselves and be true to the show and to generate the kind of comedy that we want to generate. You do kind of think, how will the world interpret this, and where is my moment to say something that I want to say to the world? But you're not the responsibility of the blanket thing. Never really occurred. If these people are true to themselves, that will just happen.
Right, yeah, you can defend them against anybody or sell them to anybody.
While having women on staff may not be necessary for writing a good female character, there may be a certain perspective missing when men are creating your entire universe. This is why DC Comics received criticism for reducing its female creators by over 10% for the New 52. In fairness to DC, I literally could not reach them for comment in the convention center. Comic-Con is a very busy time, and the exhibitor hall was packed. as you can hear from when I spoke to Jeff Jacks.
One of the great things about webcomics is that so many of our creators are female, and the gender balance is much more even. It's still biased towards men, I think, but, you know, it's changing, and there's not a sense of bias or boys clubism or any of that, you know, old stuff that's dying out. So I'd love to see that happen more in mainstream strips as well.
While the industry might be lacking diversity right now, fans seem to really support the shows with men who can write for good, strong female characters. Shows like The Legend of Korra, Firefly, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer easily filled seat capacity at San Diego Comic-Con. Buffy fans crowded a room just to sing along with the musical episode Once More with Feeling, which aired over 10 years ago.
Every single night, the same arrangement, I go out and fight the fight. Still, I always feel the strangest estrangement. Nothing here is real, nothing here is right.
In a press conference for Firefly, Joss Whedon said that male characters in any of his stories, including Buffy the Vampire Slayer, who are comfortable with strong women, will be stronger themselves. Doc Hammer and Jackson Publick said they think women like the Venture Brothers for the opposite reason. Not only are they opposed to doing a musical episode, but the male characters on the show are also fairly feminine.
Right. You know what I mean? So the fact that there are no physical women, I mean, they're all cartoons, none of these people are actual women. The fact that there's not a lot of people with female genitals doesn't matter because the show is so feminine in a way.
Right.
It has, it doesn't have this kind of stereotypical male outlook, and I think that women respond to it. Plus, women are, they like good things like any man likes a good things. They don't just go, well, I won't watch it unless women are in it, because I only respond to women. I
right.
think they like good things. So I think they like the show because they just like the show, and men like the show because Brock's in it.
The best of action, like my mother's.
It seems like the best way to get a good, varied audience and positive critical reception is to write well-rounded characters, male or female, and have good storytelling abilities, which is kind of obvious when you think about it, or don't think about it. For Culture Q, I'm Mitch Skinner.
The world of competitive bodybuilding requires the utmost physical and mental discipline, both in and outside of the gym. Reporter Markita Fornoff followed one figure competitor who balances life between the locker room and the classroom.
Am I so tough enough? Feels like I'm
wearing down. You just want to push it up and then slowly lower it and then hold it and then go up. This is a shoulder press.
And that is the voice of Michelle Zimmerman, a dental student at Herzing University and a figure competitor on the side. Though most people don't think that when they meet her for the first time.
Like right now when I tell people that I'm in the sport, they just kind of look at me like, oh, I thought you'd be bigger or you'd be more ripped and veiny. You know, like all the people see are just the pictures.
The pictures that most people think of are probably closer to bodybuilding, but there's a distinction.
A figure competitor is basically a female, a lesser extreme female, who doesn't get quite as lean or build the size of a female bodybuilder.
Don't let the words lesser extreme fool you. Being a figure competitor still takes a lot of dedication and hard work.
People always think that there's a magic pill out there, and they don't want to appreciate hard work. They just want to say, oh, or just think, oh, that person's taking something. Or you can never supplement or take a pill for hard work. You can't just pop a pill or take steroids and, you know, watch your body grow. You have to go into the gym.
For Zimmerman, this means devoting about 2 to 3 hours a day in the gym, focusing on one body part at a time, and alternating her workouts between cardio and strength training. A recent addition to her regimen has been yoga. Tara Kilbride is a yoga instructor at Your Yoga in Dinkytown. And while Kilbride isn't an instructor for Zimmerman, they share some of the same workout philosophies, both emphasizing the importance of focus.
I mean, I think anytime you practice there's an aspect of mindfulness, so moment-to-moment awareness of the various parts of your body and the various parts of your breath. You know, usually we're just focused on maybe one or two of those things. And in a yoga class, because you do move slowly and you do move mindfully and you have someone suggesting through cues different parts of your body that you might have not drawn your conscious awareness to, you develop a really radical body awareness where you're able to be aware of multiple aspects of your body at the same time.
The importance of focus is so essential to the vinyasa practice of yoga that it is actually the definition of its name.
Vinyasa with breath. It literally, I think, translates to place in a special way, which is also an important thing. So, you know, that's that mindfulness focus, like from, you know, how you press your foot into the ground in a balancing pose, to how you circle your arms up overhead. You know, all of it has a focus of intention.
Whether the intention comes from the need for meditation or the desire to train one's body physically, these realizations take patience.
It's a slow process. I definitely wouldn't say that, you know, every class is a breakthrough class, for example, but it is a slow process of getting your body and mind used to being moving and breathing with ease. And so slowly over time you notice that your whole body does change, you know, oftentimes very dramatically. Oftentimes it's very subtle as well, you know.
However, this focus isn't always easy to maintain outside of the studio or gym, especially while preparing for a figure competition on a strict diet.
I mean, just some days you're sitting there trying to focus and trying to study and all you can think of is food and your next meal, and because, I mean, you are hungry sometimes and you do have meltdowns where you just want to throw your hands up in the air and just say, why am I doing this?
The sacrifice of time and calories is pretty big, but the feeling Zimmerman gets while competing overrides its deficit.
I don't know, I was hooked the first time. I was addicted and I knew that was what I wanted to do. When you hit one stepping stone, it's just, you want more. You always want more. You can always, there's always room for improvement. I mean, you can take this sport as far as you want to go.
And these sacrifices don't last forever.
I mean, when you're done competing or the day after or after show, we usually go out and have a big, what we call a cheat meal, something that's totally not off of our diet, something that you've been craving the whole time that you've been dieting, say it's pizza, burgers, fries, cheesecake.
For Culture Q, I'm Markita Fornoff.
Listening to Culture Q here on Radio K, and for this week's Top 7, I'm joined in the studio with producer Tess Weinberg.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Tess. And today we're going to discuss cure-alls, because even though it's summer, we don't like to think about it, but we still get sick.
It happens.
That's right. And so, for number 7, we have those ever-present saltine crackers.
Right. And, you know, it's not quite fair to put these in the health category because I eat saltines weekly anyway. But when I was a kid, my parents would always give me saltines. Do you have a stomachache? Here, have some saltines. Do you have a cold? Here, have some saltines. And they always worked.
I know. They're just something you can nibble on. And every time I've been into the hospital, which isn't frequent, but that always seems to be the snack food that they have on hand all the time, is saltine crackers.
Yeah.
They're just kind of delightful to chew on. Number 6 is one of the cure-alls we have on this list for upset stomachs, and that includes Sprite, 7-Up, or any kind of clear carbonated soda.
Yeah. My parents would give me Fresca, the lemon-lime flavored one, and it's supposed to really help your stomach, and I thought it always worked.
I don't know. Is it the flavor, or I've heard just the bubbles kind of help?
I think it's the carbonation that's supposed to calm me down, and then it's soda pop, so then kids like it, maybe.
Yeah, that's something. It's a lot better than any kind of medicine that you could probably give to kids.
Yeah, a lot better than cold medicine.
For our next Cure coming in at number 5. We should preface this by saying that here at Culture Q, we don't advocate alcohol use, but this next one is a cure that's been around for a while to cure cold, flu, and sore throat symptoms. And what is that, Tess?
It's whiskey mixed with spices and water. It's called a hot toddy, and it's supposed to really help with those ailments.
Now, well, you said, when we were talking about this, you said that your boyfriend actually just took shots of whiskey for a sore throat.
Yeah, he was just drinking whiskey because he said it was supposed to help him get better. And I don't know if that's true or not. He seemed to think it worked pretty well.
Yeah, but the hot toddy has been around for a while, and it also sounds like a warming wintertime kind of drink. You've got the whiskey and the spices, and to add on to that, it's, you know, it's a warm hot beverage, and it's also sugared, so it's sweet. So yeah, something that you would expect to find on a kind of old wives kind of cure-all.
Yes, definitely.
Number 4 on this list is something very common that you would use, especially in the summertime with the summer sun, and that's aloe vera.
Yeah. You're going to the beach and you're not really paying attention. You forget your sunscreen. Next thing you know, you are bright red like a lobster, and aloe vera really helps with that. At least it always did for me.
Yeah, my girlfriend caught a little bit too much sun doing some yard work over the weekend, and fortunately, somebody at her work gave her like a little tiny jar of that green. It looks kind of like Jell-O or something, but it works. I've used it for sunburns before, and many other people have as well.
Right.
This next one, you know, is a cure for the hiccups, and there isn't one definitive cure. We all have our own cure, but I thought yours was really unique. Tess, can you explain that?
Yeah. Okay. So when I was a kid, I got hiccups pretty often, and my cousins had this really awesome cure. And you would drink a glass of water really, really fast, and then my cousins would help me by holding 2 freezing spoons up to my temples while I drank the cold water. It had to be timed perfectly, but it always worked.
You need like a team of people on hand to help you with this.
But yeah, you need 2 aides at least. But
my personal cure is just the old-fashioned holding your breath. It feels kind of weird because you're holding your breath and your diaphragm kind of heaves, and so it feels like you're keeping like something from regurgitating. But I've also heard of peanut butter. I think my girlfriend has said that the one that was told to her was trying to say the alphabet backwards. I think that was all. I think the basic point is that you're supposed to do something that takes your mind off of the hiccups, and it just kind of helps. Our number 2 cure-all on this list is one that we found with a bit of searching, but that is baking soda.
Yeah, you're supposed to mix baking soda with water, and I'm not quite sure what those ratios are, but it's supposed to cure indigestion or cold sores, which makes sense because I think it helps level out impure levels in your body.
Yeah, I think it's because baking soda it's basic, and if you have indigestion, it might be from too much acidic food, and so it just kind of helps balance things out there. But yeah, multiple uses for baking soda if you don't have like Pepto-Bismol or products like that on hand.
I think that's the most scientific one we have on our list.
yeah, especially considering our number 1 cure-all that we have on here, one that I'm sure all of you have used at some point, and that is hot tea.
Hot tea. My mom always gives me the sleepy time tea when I'm home and I'm sick. It's the best.
Yeah, I think if I'm sick, my favorite is, usually I drink black tea, but if I'm sick, I like chamomile tea, just a really kind of herbal
I like terrible. Chamomile and mint mixed together. Ooh, yeah.
That would just clear up like sinuses and just
everything.
Yeah. And that is our top 7 list of homemade / natural cure-alls here on Culture Q. Stick around. There's still more show. And thanks for joining me, Tess.
Yeah, thanks again, Mark.
In life, it's important to keep in mind those things that you aspire to do, but just as important is remembering those things that you would rather stay away from. So for our question of the week, reporter Jamie Nelson asked, what is one thing that you would never, ever do?
One activity I would never do, probably go to like a country music fest, at least pay money for it.
I would never get my pierced.
Live in Texas.
Make out with a boy.
I will probably never get blood again because it's a horrible experience, and I always pass out, and I wake up in a different room, and there's orange juice, though. I mean, I guess that's good.
I would never pass up another opportunity to go to Leonard Cohen.
Voting Republican.
I would never have sex with someone I loved.
I would never go to the nude beach.
Why?
Because I don't want to see old man's privates in the open.
I would never go scuba diving in a cave, because then if somehow your air supply got cut off, you'd have no way to escape.
There's one thing I will never do again. It is getting very drunk before having a trampoline party. Because the aftermath is nasty.
If you were at this year's Soundset Festival, you might have caught a performance by Audio Perm, a hip-hop posse on the rise led by three producers who are only 21 years old. And reporter Zach McCormick has a review of their debut album. Hey, you got a
dollar, man, you got we out chia. Atlanta hip-hop speak for we're out here. We're active. We're grinding, striving, struggling, and persevering. But for the Twin Cities hip-hop crew Audio Perm, it means something a little different. We've arrived. Get familiar.
I'm looking down on my sneakers, some black lights. This is after the night. Left holding a stash of cash with the sack in the right. And I'd only let go of that after a passionate fight. But I made it home unscathed again. I'm maxed and I'm right. There's some Falcons in flight.
So let's get you caught up. Audio Perm is led by three producers: Taylor Madrigal, Julian Fairbanks, and Corey Grinberg. Each has their own unique tastes and specialties, but they share a common ability to craft really hot beats.
I meet up with my homie, kill a bowler, kill like cereal. Parents go delirial, yeah, hear me flow. Here we go, I'm clerical, clinical, cynical, imperial. We creeping through.
Joining them is a posse of up-and-coming scoundrel MCs and a few local veterans with an eye for young talent. Names you'll be hearing a lot of in the next few years, like Art School Girls, Biter Fighters, Big Dylan, Bobby Raps, Yakub, and Mundo Libre. With a few you already know and love, like Meta, Illuminous 3, Greg Grease, hell, even Mike McGlone drops by to spit a few bars.
It ain't nothing to a nothing ass, grimy, no good, dirty lip motherfucker like me. Huh. Thought it was what it ain't, it caught a bus when I hit it and you caught feelings.
We Out Chia is Audio Perm's first official release, culled from various beat tapes, singles, and freestyles that the group has released over the past few years, remastered and packaged as a compilation to capitalize on the crew's heavily hyped set at Soundset 2012. This album marks a significant triumph for the Perm team, who's finally beginning to catch a buzz after spending their teenage years in the trenches of the local rap grind.
In purple rain, got a star on the wall, not a walk of fame. Twin Cities and tall, shots poor, murder rap, Midwest, get strong, heard of us, shut them down. Twin Cities, ice cold, ice self, heard it act, go back, listen up, that's a way better anthem.
Audio Perm's communal, pass the mic style and their stage packing live show has earned the group numerous comparisons to Wu-Tang. But they could just as easily be the Midwest version of Atlanta's Dungeon Family. Both share a deep posse of entertaining personalities, tied together by an immediately recognizable production style. The crew's three producers alternate tracks on this album, bringing elements of their personal flavor to each cut. Fairbanks is the resident boom bap expert, adding a head nodding backpack steeze to songs like this one. Madrigal is the obvious 90s baby, and his beats are an undeniably catchy update to the sound of hip-hop's golden age. Grinberg, on the other hand, uses his music school training and technical expertise to lace Perm's complex, southern-style club bangers.
Some change in my pocket, stop. Light stinging green is this flame that I'm sparking out. Eyeing for the cops, cause this bang steady knocking, stop. Light stinging green is this hanging, y'all rocking here, riding down.
We Out Chia is almost as deep as the crew that made it. At 16 tracks, there's plenty of memorable bars and hooks that itch to be bumped out of a car with a better sound system than most of its members could afford. While they lack a charismatic lead rapper to serve as the face of the group, these boys just bleed enthusiasm and a delinquent charm that has the biggest hip-hop heads in the city paying attention.
Young brothers red or blue, flagging as they sagging on the corner with a slag. Convo dragging cause she bragging. From a city where my dick is bagging while they wagging out. Ask around, double shot of whiskey in my green tea. Driving at 2 miles an hour so they seen me.
Consider this an opening salvo, a chance to get in early before these talented kids inevitably drop the next local classic.
Blessed to step ahead of every threat. First impressions make them second guess how to prep themselves. I seen them check my fresh, these are regular clothes. Catching flashes from cameras on their cellular phones. Hoodie up, bag of salt for whenever it snows. Posted at this red light till it tells me to go.
For Culture Q, this is Zach McCormick.
Well, that's all for our show this evening. Contributors for this week's show were Mitch Skinner, Markita Fornoff, Tess Weinberg, Jamie Nelson, and Zach McCormick. Producers for Culture Q are Tess Weinberg, Mitch Skinner, and Noel Clark. Our culture coach is Sarah Lemanchek, and host and managing editor is me, Mark Sheely. You can find Culture Q on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. And if you miss something fascinating, you can always find recent episodes of Culture Q online at radiok.org. Thanks for listening, and as always, see you next week. Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.